Hey, my name is James, and you're listening to Revy Live Radio. Starting June 28th, Arts Revelstoke presents 64 straight nights of live music. From dream cowboy pop to washboard blues, and from jazz to rock and roll, we've got it all covered. You can tune into Stoke FM over the next 2 months every Thursday night to hear behind-the-scene interviews and music from all the talented musicians playing Grizzly Plaza this summer. With that being said, let's get started.
Hey, I'm Kaylee G. I'm an artist from Edmonton, Alberta. I make sad cowboy pop, and I'm playing Revy Live on Saturday, June 28th. I'm so excited, and I hope you come out. It's going to be the most fun, glittery, sparkly time you've ever had.
You brought Guinness to a party. I said, baby, who drinks Guinness at a party? You said someone hot and sexy and equally sad. And then you handed me a can. I said, this tastes like the floor of the subway and stale bread. You said you knew. You called it romantic. Quite the dichotomy, isn't it? And I thought I forgot what butterflies felt like. Been so scared of hurting, I don't even try now. But oh, oh, there it goes. If you could kiss me, and I said yes. We kissed beside the stage in front of all of my friends. I thought you'd never mention that again. I said, don't kiss me if it's out of pity. You said, why would you think that? I said, I don't know. Kinda quiet, and then he kissed me again. And I thought I forgot what butterflies felt like. Been so scared of hurting, I don't even try now. But
first question I've been asking people is what their weirdest gig ever has been.
Oh my gosh. My weirdest gig ever. And also probably my favorite gig ever. I was in another project a couple of years ago called Waffle House. It was the first band I was ever in. And we went on like a very small, very tiny, self-produced Western Canada tour. And we played at some of the strangest spots. And one of them was at this place called Shortcut Fries in Invermere, BC. And we were playing outside at a fry shack. They're not a venue. We just played there because we knew the owners and were friends with them. And it was so strange. And it was pouring rain right before, like all of our gear got soaking wet, but it was the best show we've ever played ever. It was all these people packed into like a back alley. It was so strange, but so magical and so fun. My name is Kaylee G. I am an artist from Edmonton, Alberta. I make sad cowboy pop. Sometimes I do really like glittery, fun, upbeat pop stuff, but mostly I do things that I cry to and that other people can cry to. And sometimes it's a little bit honky tonk and sometimes it's not. So I do a whole bunch of things, but that's me in a nutshell. I'm playing Revy live with my band. Call them the Boys. We call each other the Boys. It was kind of like a name that we gave ourselves. I wasn't just like, y'all are the Boys now. But I'm playing Revy live with my band, the Boys.
Run us through what your plans are for the summer.
So I just put out a single 2 weeks ago. It's called Brenda Heather Kelly. And that is kind of, it's my song of the summer, personally. So that's something I'm really excited about. And then this summer, I'm doing a little bit of touring, like proper touring, which I've never done before. So Revy Live is the first stop. And then I head to Winnipeg and then Yellowknife and then Calgary and then Wayne, Alberta, and then Edmonton a couple of times again, just back in there. But we're coming back in between. So I'm not like gone on the road fully for months, but a lot of hopping around, a lot of car rides, and a lot of plane rides as well.
I was gonna say that's you're covering a lot of kilometers there.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you guys gonna implement any band rules to make sure you're not getting on each other's nerves?
We are, I will say, my band, just a lovely group of people. Like, generally, I'm very grateful. We're all very mature and friendly and nice and wonderful. So far, I don't know, maybe after Revy Live, because that's our first stop, we'll have to do like a band regroup and be like, okay, this is not allowed anymore. But for now, there's no rules. Everyone has free rein. Just show up on time and look cool. That's it. Those are the only rules so far, but we'll see what happens.
Fair enough. I feel like a lot of the answers I've been getting are food related in the car. A lot
Yep.
of no tuna and no egg salad sandwiches, which is
Oh
very
my
fair.
gosh. That feels like, I feel like no tuna and no egg salad sandwiches are just like a given. Like, if one of the boys brought that in the car, I would be like, I didn't think I needed to say that we can't do that, but
Yeah.
let's not do that.
It should be an unwritten rule already, you're right.
Yeah.
You mentioned just show up and look cool. What for again for those of us who may be unfamiliar with your work, we come to Revy Live, we sit down, we're taking in the sun, you're the first show. What's the first thing that we're going to notice when you and the boys walk up on stage?
Probably a lot of glitter. We all wear glitter. I force everyone to wear glitter. We all wear glitter. I'm usually wearing a crazy outfit with lots of sparkles or tulle or pink or something puffy. My hair is bright pink. But the boys, my band, I try to like, I do trust them wholeheartedly. And we've talked about implementing like a band uniform of some kind, and sometimes something just naturally works out. But for the most part, I just tell the boys to show up and look cool. And they understand the assignment. So far, I haven't had to be like, okay, that's it. We can't wear that anymore, which is good. Generally, when I write songs, I write them very, very early in the morning or very late at night. Usually, when it's dark outside, I usually write when there's like a big feeling happening of some kind. So sometimes that's like at the end of the day, I'm just like thinking about what happened, and all of the thoughts from the day are kind of just like all there, and I have to deal with them. Or like I feel like people like overthink at night. Generally, I feel like that's like a common thing that people do. So when I start overthinking, I put a guitar in my hand so that I don't just spiral. And I mean, it hasn't really deviated from that since I started songwriting to now. All of my favorite songs that I've written happen that way. I do a lot of co-writes as well, and some of my other favorite songs happen that way as well, and those are often in daylight. Often not, though. My co-writers are really lovely, and we've for sure done some like 4 a.m. sessions before just to get the song, and those are my favorite. But yeah, generally with other people or by myself, very late at night.
In the bathroom out of wish I'd stayed home, but I'd overthink till I can't breathe if I didn't go. And I don't wanna say this out loud, but I bet they talk when I'm not.
So excited to be opening up Revy Live. When I got the email getting asked to play it, one, I was so stoked, but two, I didn't realize that I was opening up the whole thing. It wasn't until I think like the poster came out with everyone's names that I realized I was opening up. And I feel A, very honored, and B, it's very exciting that it's my first tour stop. I'm opening up Revy Live for the whole summer. I feel so excited and so honored, and I think it's gonna be just like the best time. The boys and I have lots of songs, lots of like fun, upbeat pop stuff, some sad stuff because of course because it's me, but for the most part, all really fun party songs. I'm feeling stoked.
What's your most treasured musical possession?
This is kind of a cop out answer, but my most treasured or I guess precious musical possession probably is like the team of people that I work with. Like I'm all for collaborating with new people and that's one of my favorite things about music, but I really do hope that the people I'm working with now, like my band and my producer, my music director, like I really hope that these are people that I get to work with for the rest of my life. So probably the people in my life are my most important musical possession. Or, and this isn't my possession, but my producer has a Gibson guitar. That's the most beautiful guitar in the whole entire world. And it's gorgeous. And I hope that he never gets rid of the Gibson just because I need it.
Jealous, they both got the kill. just got a facelift. Everyone loves a miracle drug. I can be sad and make it look fun. I just talked to Robbie, this California sober. What a weird way to say you're a stoner. Everyone loves a miracle drug. I can be sad and make it look fun. You don't wanna be here, I don't wanna either. So I'm faking a phone call from my mom. Sorry, babe, but I got a call.
Hey, we're A&O by One. We're a local Revy band, and we'll be playing Revy Live on Monday, June 30th. Please join us for an evening of rock and roll, and it's Canada Day the following day, so you're not working. So come have some fun, and you can stay up late. It's a national holiday, so make the exception, and come jam with us and dance your heart out, and we'll have some fun.
I'm Charlie. We got Sam here and Laura, our singers. And yeah, we're all patrollers. Well, for the most part. Laura's an addition to our family here. Yeah, and we like to play loud and fun music. Only bangers. That's what we say. So our name, A&O by One, it's from the first aid world, because we do a lot of first aid. It's a scale for head injuries, alert and oriented, and it's a scale of 4, person, place, time, and event. So if you're A&O by One, you only remember your name generally. So kind of, yeah, nothing else matters. All you know is your name. So yeah, a bit of fun there.
So yeah, did you guys all meet on ski patrol?
Yeah, more or less. I joined patrol a year and a half ago. I'm the dispatch supervisor now, and I met Charlie in the summer, Bruno and Aurelian in the winter, and we met Laura at the Patrol family Christmas dinner with a few of my friends came over and brought Laura, and we hung out and jammed and kind of all started from there.
Yeah. Yeah, just passing around guitar and playing tunes and, yeah, kind of expand the family. But we've had a lot of people just come and jam and play music together, and that's kind of what it's always been about. So, yeah, super fun.
Yeah, I met these guys kind of out on a whim at a last-minute Christmas potluck that was French-Canadian themed, and I just felt called to be there. And I didn't know most of the band. I actually didn't know pretty much anyone in the band, but they were a really fun crew. And of course, after dinner, someone busted out a guitar, started playing some music, and here we are.
Yeah. I think we've got Lockie. Poor Lockie.
Yeah.
Lockie did patrol school and then joined patrol in the summer. He's our one Australian member, and I'm pretty sure he busted out the harmonica at Christmas dinner as well.
He definitely did on Billy Joel.
Yeah.
He's a sucker for that harmonica.
Yeah. Been trying to get a bit of harmonica into our tunes. I'd say we're a very, like, multi-instrument. Whatever you can put in there, we've got it.
Yeah. I brought my trumpet out. We've been messing around with that a bit too, but not quite ready for the big show. So maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Don't make any promises now.
No, yeah. I should kick us off?
Yep, okay. Go for it.
I guess I started playing guitar back in middle school, so that's probably like 15 years ago. I started, I don't know, just had an acoustic, watched YouTube videos, taught myself, and then in middle school started taking music lessons or music class, picked up the trumpet, played a lot through high school. Actually was in like all the different bands, like jazz and concert, and kind of took the fun out of it for me, but kind of always stuck with guitar because you can just pick it up whenever and play some songs. And yeah, here we are playing with a bunch of friends and having a great time.
Totally. Well, yeah. My grandma was a music teacher, so I've always had music around me in my life. She had a grand piano in her living room, so I've always been super intrigued by playing it. And I've never been allowed to play it because it was so clean and pristine and my dirty kid hands weren't allowed on it. But then growing up, I remember this one teacher in the sixth grade who was adamant on teaching us how to play the ukulele. And she would travel to different schools in my area. And she had this big bin of like 30 ukuleles. And she just taught us how to look up tabs and how to find strumming patterns and how to learn chords. And I think that really just kicked me off into the musical world. After that, my parents eventually got tired of hearing the ukulele in the house, especially because I didn't know how to tune it. And they eventually bought me my first guitar when I was 15, and yeah, that really just launched me into it all. And the singing really has just come from all of that, just to accompany myself.
Nice. My musical journey, probably the first thing I played was the recorder. I'm sure many of us did.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Lovely instrument. A little bit of xylophone thrown in there. Yeah.
Gotta have it.
Oof, so good. We had an old Casio keyboard, which is similar to the one, probably exactly the same as the one that we're using now, back in the 90s. And I had one music book, which was the Beatles. So I taught myself to play the Beatles songs exclusively on the keyboard. But I have a pretty short attention span, so I moved on from that to something else. I did a lot of singing in choir when I was in school, and then sung in a few things when I was younger, but say I struggled a lot with self-confidence as a teenager, so I kind of just did it on my own after that for a long time. And then got jamming with these guys in the basement one night, and I was having heaps of fun. It was after one of our patrol jug nights, so there was definitely some liquid courage on board at that point. And then since then, I've just been, I enjoyed it so much. I'm still absolutely terrified to go on stage, but it's been really great. I've learned so much from these guys. Singing with Laura has been amazing. And yeah, I'm just so happy that I found this group to sing with and get back into it and start learning something other than the Beatles on the keyboard. So
yeah,
that's been nice.
Totally. I totally get that. It's I think this band is a really great way for all of us to kind of reconnect with that inner child that we've kind of left behind to become adults and work a real job. And now we're all just playing each week when we meet up for music. And even our drummer, Aurelien, hasn't performed in front of anyone since he was 12. So shout out to his mom, who's going to be there at Revy Live. We love you. We're so happy you're going to be there. So yeah, it's really good for all of us, and it's super fulfilling and heartwarming and wholesome.
Yeah, I think this has been new for most of us in this band, and like our first gig in quotation marks, we went to the Last Drop for one of the open mics, and nerves were really high for that. And there's maybe like what 15 people there.
Yeah. They were rooting for us hard, though.
Everyone was really into it. It was super fun, but yeah, it was.
I pretended that I wasn't even going to get on the stage until
Charlie
dragged me up eventually.
Yeah, I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
It was worth it. I'm glad you did too. Thank you very much again for that. Otherwise, I would have just stood there and smiled and nodded.
Yeah, I think Revelstoke's an awesome place for music. It just seems like there's a lot going on. Revy Live, I think, is kind of the peak of it in the summer, having, 3 months? Yeah, it's pretty wild, and you get so much different varieties of music and performers. I think it's really cool. I also went to a lot of the open mics in the winter, and you get to meet a lot of cool people in this town who are really talented musicians, and it's surprising how much arts and music goes on in this town, and I think it's cool that we get to have it on display for Revy Live.
Yeah,
and to be a part of it is really cool.
It's crazy to go to these events and realize how many of your colleagues and friends are actually really talented musicians, but you just would have never known if you didn't go to that open mic or that one show. Yeah, and then it brings a whole different energy to maybe your workplace, or that's definitely a thing for me. I have done some like work events where we work with new Canadians, and we have one of our staff members come in and do a little jam and play some songs, and everybody brings an instrument and we all play together. And that's just always a core memory for me every year. And that's something that I would have never thought of if I didn't know that that one work colleague was a really talented musician. So it just brings people together in this town. And I love the variety of music that we have, for sure. Different styles from all over the world, different walks of life too. It's not just, you know, young people. It's not just ski patrollers. It's all sorts of different demographics that are just so good at what they do and they want to share it.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I think I arrived in Revy about a year and a half ago, and I was, very surprised about how big the music scene was here. I mean, everybody knows someone who's a DJ for their basement. Like, I never expected to be at house parties with really good DJs in the basement. That was wild. And then going out to the likes of Tadpole and seeing bands play, having I think seeing Off play as well at Dirtbag Ball was sick for me. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then, Revy Live last year, I lived in town, so we could just kind of come and go whenever the bands were on. That was really nice. I loved Lunar as well, just having DJs set up in the alleyways. It was, amazing. And just finding out, every person I talked to is pretty much a talented musician. It's wild. I just didn't expect it at all. It's definitely been really surprising and, super interesting and really, really cool.
Yeah, my last question for all you guys. I want to know what your most precious musical possession is.
I've been rocking this classical guitar I got for free from a friend, and it came with metal acoustic strings on it, and it sounded awful. And I just got some nylon strings for a classical guitar and strung it up, and now it sounds okay, but it's not great. It's just something to jam with. But I think that the memories are probably my most treasured musical possession. The memories and then all that experience and that practice and that, honestly, that ability to do harmonies just on a whim is priceless to me. And I have so much fun doing it. And it's always something that I can bust out, even though I don't have an instrument with me. I just have my brain and I just rock up and, yeah, partake. And it's always a great time.
Yeah, I have to say Laura is an absolute wizard with the harmonies and learning heaps from her. Can't wait to learn more. trying to learn more. Yeah,
it's been really fun singing with you, Sam. I've been really liking it. It's a really chill kind of vibe and we just are both learning together.
It's so nice. Yeah. So nice working things out together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. That would be one of my most priceless possessions for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact if Lockie was here, he would say his harmonicas. He's got like, or he calls them mouth harps. Is that what he calls them? Yeah. He's got like one in each key and he brings a bag of them wherever we go jamming.
He has a holster for them.
He has a holster?
I'm pretty sure he does.
Oh my God.
He has like handcrafted leather holster.
That is amazing.
I'm pretty sure.
We have an old boot shell that Aurelian uses for his drumsticks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just like so ski patrol. It's like a broken boot with like we took the liner out and it just holds drumsticks now. And that, yeah.
Just the singular boot. Awesome. Not a pair, just one.
Yeah, I don't know where the right one went, but yeah.
I say our whole band kit's pretty cobbled together. We've got Dan's old microphone.
True, yeah.
We have a karaoke microphone that was $1
at the thrift store.
At the thrift store.
We had Brad's bass for the longest time. Brad's bass. We still have his amp, actually. We should probably give that back to him.
Yeah. We got a couple of guitars found in the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, they're pretty great.
They're pretty great. We restrung. Well, Lockie restrung them, I think.
Had to tie wrap one of them.
Yeah. They've been sounding pretty sick. Yeah. So
I think for A&O by One, it's really not about the gear. It's about the talent.
Yeah, about
the talent. Oh God,
that's going to be a lot of pressure on you. It's all about the vibes. We're just here for good time.
We're here for the vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the passion that everybody brings to it and like, yeah, just the different ideas and all of that has been amazing. We've just made the gear work. I mean, we're getting to a point where we're like, oh, this could be better. But, you know, I think we've just made everything work. And
we're slowly improving. We just got a new mixer and floor monitors. Yeah. And that's been a game changer for rehearsals. We can actually hear each other now. So that's been great.
Still trying to figure out how to use it.
Yeah.
But luckily, Lockie's roommate is a sound tech. So we're learning some things.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
making it work.
Slow
making
progress.
It work.
Yeah.
Got our thrift store Casio from the 90s.
Yeah. Shout out. Sweet. Shout out Church's thrift store in Sandheim.
Except for when it randomly starts playing those like random drum tracks.
We keep bumping it onto demo.
Yeah, I keep clicking that button by accident or putting my phone on one of the keys and everything else is so loud that I can't hear it, but everybody else can.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Stitch Winston.
And I'm Rich Underhill of Shuffle Demons.
And we are looking forward to performing as part of Revy Live on July 1st, Canada Day. So come celebrate Canada's birthday with the Shuffle Demons. Check out some great new tunes from our new album, Are You Really Real? And let's have some fun.
Yeah, 3 to 6 p.m. See you there.
Thanks again for taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it. I think a good place to start, which I've been asking a couple other people who have been interviewing tonight, is what is the weirdest gig you've ever played?
Oh, the weirdest gig. Stitch, you're the guy with the menu. What is the menu? The memory. What's the weirdest gig we've ever played?
Richard, I think you should tell our listening audience about us playing the Reunification of Germany gig in Hof.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So we were touring a lot in the 1990s in Germany, and somehow we came across someone who was having a party in about 1992 that celebrated the reunification of Germany. And it was in this little town called Hof, which was right on the border of the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia at the time, East Germany, and West Germany. And so they invited some bands and artists, and they had this big party in a warehouse. So the first artist to go on was the East Germans, and they did this poetry by a wall, like naked poetry, but with fire by a wall. It was really, really bizarre, and, you know, kind of, I think it was in German, but maybe about what it was like, you know, with the wall and coming to terms with what was happening, joining the West. And then the Czechs went on, and they were unbelievable. They were like this hillbilly Eastern European band with honest-to-God hockey stick guitars and like blowpipe, like accordions that were made of, that turned into pianos with these kind of pipes. And they were super fun, super energetic. And then Shuffle Demons went on, and, you know, we did our kind of funky thing. And then the West Germans came on, and they were a top 40 cover band. And I just thought, wow, this is sort of a perfect analogy about what's happening. In the East, without the commercialization, people were really creative. And also they, you know, often they use music to sort of attack the government in a subtle way. So they made it weird. And then here we are with a top 40 cover band. So that was one of the weirdest.
What is your number one thing to do on a day off from tour?
Day off. Well, I love to explore wherever we are. so yeah, we've been really lucky to be in India. You know, Stitch is the booking magician. I used to do it, but since 2004, he's really taken over. And so yeah, he's got us to India, to Thailand, to Japan, to China, Europe. So wherever we are, I just love to walk around, you know, explore, have some local food and you know, meet people. Every once in a while, I'll pull out my sax and busk, you know, why not?
Yeah, same with me. I mean, the great thing about being a musician is that you're not a tourist. So it's kind of your foot in the door of the culture there. You get to meet local people, and they take you around and show you how they live. And so that's what I love about touring as a musician. You're not a tourist. You're not going to the tourist spots. You're getting down to the nitty-gritty of what it's like to live in different parts of the world and experience different cultures. And I think it has a positive effect on our music.
Absolutely. Do you find yourself booking shows and places that you want to visit personally?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, basically, anywhere in the world where we can play that's reasonably safe, I like to go to. And, like I say, experience the culture and see how other people live. And I think it makes you feel more human.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the course of your 40 years as a band, have you guys run into any travel problems?
Yeah, disorder at the border.
Maybe this would be an opportune time to talk about our one day visa to go to East Berlin.
Oh yeah, back to the Eastern Europeans. So we were in 1985, actually did a busking tour of Europe. So we rented a van, and I'm not rented a van. We bought a van in Amsterdam, toured around for a while. Eventually, the police pulled us over because the van was, well, some vandals in Spain stole our back lights, and we didn't realize it. So we only managed to replace some of them by the time we got to Holland again. Police pulled us over because we had that, and then they confiscated the van. So we ended up on foot, and we hitchhiked and took buses to Berlin, back when it was East Berlin and West Berlin, and decided to go over for a day. And so that was really fun. We went over. We had to change 20 German marks into Ostmarks, which were the Eastern version of the mark. And everything was super cheap, Subway was 10 cents and a beer was 10 cents and a sandwich was 30 cents. I mean, things were plain, but they were really inexpensive. So a couple of guys in the band kind of liked to drink a lot at the time. Not me, really. Yeah, well, anyway. And we went to a park to kind of drink and hang out, and we started playing a bit and to entertain some kids. And these people were like, "Who are you guys? What the heck?" So this guy took us around, took us under his wing, took us to his place. He had some kind of regular job, but he also took photos. And back in the day, he could only get one roll of film a month. That was how they structured it. Anyway, he took us to a club, and it was a birthday party, and we played. And then all of a sudden, we're like, "Oh my God, it's 11:45. Our visa ends at midnight in East Berlin." And so we were like, "How do we get there? Oh, you got to take the subway." So they got us onto the subway, and they came with us, our friends. And then after we got out of the subway, it was still like 500 meters or who knows what of a walk, and it was already after 12. And so we just started running, and our friends were behind us. And then I realized, I still have 15 of these marks. So I kind of pulled them out of my pocket, held them up in the air, and put them on the ground for them because it was probably a month's pay, right? And we made the border, and then Stitch can tell you what happened there.
Yeah. So, yeah, you get a one day visa that expires at 12. So, we probably showed up at 5 after midnight, and the border guard goes, "You are late. I must punish you." And we're going, "Oh, no. I think we've just won ourselves a one way ticket to the Siberian Jazz Festival." So, then he pulled us one by one into this room to search through our personal belongings. And a couple of days earlier, we were busking in West Berlin. And of course, Richard opens his saxophone case when we bus so people can throw in money. And someone had thrown in a plastic fish pen and a pair of those phony ears.
Yeah,
So
like Spock ears or something.
yeah. Oh my
So the
God.
border guard's going through Richard's saxophone case and he pulls out the fish pen and the phony ears. He goes, "What is
Yeah.
this?" Anyways, he threatened us, but then he let us go.
Yeah.
So we walked back across to the West Berlin side and we told the West Berlin border guard what happened. And he goes, "Oh, you're lucky. Last night, some guy was 20 minutes late and they made him stay all night long and clean up the place." So
Maybe
we
they
got
saw,
off easy.
yeah, they probably saw what slobs we were and were like, it's not gonna be worth it.
Well, at least you got a good story out of it. Let's take some time to shift over and talk about how you guys create your music.
Yeah. Sometimes it'll just start at a sound check, or we'll be it works kind of it's kind of cool when we're doing a long sort of concentrated tour. Like we used to do these kind of 30-day van tours of Europe in the 90s and drive around, and then you start, things start happening in the van, or you meet some character, and they're talking about cheese on bread or whatever, or and so you have a shared experience, and then that kind of develops. So those can be really great, the kind of songs that, they really have a natural evolution. And then these days, as we're not really doing that kind of touring as much, and some of the band members are spread around the country or the world a little bit, I mean, I tend to write songs into my phone. The phone is a great thing. Put the record app on, and I'm often singing lyrics that I actually don't record. Maybe the one hook lyric, but then a lot of it's nonsense, or I'm singing about the cat or whatever. But I'm often just getting, melodies in there, and then when it's time to do a recording, then I'll go through and find all those melodies and put some together. And that's when it's sort of more the editing process. But I always encourage young artists, just get that down. Get the song snippet down if it comes into your head, because that's the most important part.
Yeah, so basically back in the old days, we did more writing as a group, and nowadays we all write individually. So I apply for grant funding for various activities, including recording. So if I apply for a recording grant and it comes through, then I email all the band members and I say, "Hey, we got some money to record a new album. We decide on a date," and then we all start composing individually, and then we bring in our tunes, and they come to life in the recording studio. So that's our process these days.
So I went to the health food store for some whole wheat bread. She's organically fed, and I knew I'd made the perfect score. If I had
have processed cheese food. I'm in a bad mood, white bread, it doesn't make my day. And if you can't fight for your good food right, what's this life about anyway? If I can't have cheese on bread, I'd rather be dead, I'd rather be dead. If I can't have cheese on bread, I'd rather be dead, I'd rather be dead.
It's definitely evolved. When we started out, we were writing songs about everyday experiences. A lot of them were very humorous. And now I would say that the subject matter of our songs are probably more serious, more politically aware, and just musically more challenging. Would you concur, Richard?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. One of our songwriters moved to Quebec, Dave Parker, who wrote, you know, Spit on a Bus and Out of My House wrote. So he was more of the whimsical one and brought that out. And I'm a bit more serious in terms of lyrically. I tend to write the lyrical ones now. So, yeah, I'm thinking I gotta try and write some more fun tunes because, you know, sometimes the politically, aware ones can be kind of a bummer. Like we have a new one called Money is My Only Religion, you know, because it's what I see in the world as being a Twitter addict.
Right. Yeah.
but Stitch has a point. Yeah. In terms of musically, I think we still have some great hooks and stuff, but I think that, you know, over time we've gotten better and better and have written more and more challenging stuff that's, you know, that we can pull off, but still sounds cool. So that's fun.
And Stitch, I know I was talking to you a little bit before we got rolling here about your plans for the new year, but if I could just get you guys to maybe give us a rundown of what we can expect from the Shuffle Demons in your 40th anniversary year.
Well, we recently released a new album. We got signed to a great record label based here in Toronto called Alma Records. So they signed us to a multi-album licensing deal. So we released a new album called Are You Really Real? And it's been getting rave reviews. And so we're going to be touring this summer to help promote the new album. And it's mostly instrumental, but there's also a couple of vocal tunes of Richard's. And so that's what we're focused on right now.
Yeah, we're playing jazz festivals all across the country and then other venues like in Revelstoke, which is fun because actually I'm originally from Salmon Arms, so going to have some family down there. And Revelstoke's a really cool little town.
Well, thanks again for joining me. I appreciate you guys taking time out of your day. The last question I have for you both, what's your most treasured musical possession?
I think for me, it's probably my 1920 radio improved baritone saxophone. And it was a cool sort of story. I had a Mark VII tenor saxophone. So if you're not a saxophone nerd, you might not have any idea, but it's a Selmer saxophone, which is kind of one of the top brands, but it was made in the 70s. It was a French person they modeled it on, who had big hands, and so a lot of people didn't really like it, and I could never get a sound that I liked on it. And so one day we used to have this magazine where you could buy, sell, and trade, and someone wanted to trade a baritone looking for a tenor, and I was like, you know what, I'd love to get a baritone. So we met and just, you know, I tried or whatever, boom, trade, just like that, no money, just trade. And it just has the most gorgeous sound. You know, the metal in 1920 was, you know, metal throughout the ages changes. And I think they were probably melting down metal from the First World War at that point and had some really good brass because the sound of it's absolutely lovely. And it's featured on our Spit on a Bus recording. So I think that's probably my most treasured musical item.
And because I'm a drummer, when we tour, I don't bring my drums with me because it's not practical. So I get drums provided for me wherever we play. So I would say my most treasured musical possession is a Yamaha DX7 keyboard that I have at home, because that's what I write music on. And I feel that writing music is just as important as playing music. And I love the fact that in the band we do all original material. And I think that's just as important a part of one's artistic voice as they're playing. So that would be my most treasured musical possession. But another of my most treasured musical possessions, I'm not trying to be a wise guy, is my ears, because that's what music is all about. It's about listening. If you want to play music, you have to develop your listening skills. If you want to learn about music, you have to listen to music. It's not about the instrument you have in front of you. It's about these. So I think that's the most invaluable tool that a musician has, is their ears.
So many suffer indignation, and it's really us, it's never clean. Can you see that inside we are all the same, with a love of joy and laughter and a fear of pain?
Well, that's all the time we have here tonight. From all of us at Arts Revelstoke, we're very excited to get the summer going. On Saturday, June 28th, we've got Kaylee G. On June 29th, we have the local legends, The Rev. On June 30th, we have the Ski Patrol Band, A&O by One. July 1st, we've got the Shuffle Demons. And July 2nd, we've got the Confluence Jazz Band. We'll see you there.